Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter 2:5. That's where we're going to start. Oops. Joe was asking me, am I going to move around? I said, are you kidding? I'm going to hide behind the podium. Okay, we're going to start at 1 Peter 2:5. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now the people of God, which hath obtained mercy, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now I want to jump over to Revelation 1:6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now turn over to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign over the earth. Now, the Lord put this up on my heart last Sunday, and Jesse asked me last Sunday night, and I was like, okay, because I want to be that willing vessel. Whatever he wants me to do, I want to do it. I just want to please my Lord. I want to please our bridegroom. I want to be whatever he wants me to be and use whatever capacity he wants to use me. And looking for his soon coming, because it is roll call time, not just for us, but for saints and our family members everywhere, all those who once attended here. It's roll call. And now is the time, because he's coming. It's coming so close. So I'm praying in my heart for those that have left to come back. Like he said, to welcome those back is so precious. And it is roll call time. And to so many hearts up on, so many people above my heart that have left here, and I'm praying that they come back and believing that they'll become Berean saints. Jesus, he just wants us to believe him. Just to believe. He wants us to trust him, knowing that it's him that's going to do the work in our life. And when I compare these four verses, in Strong's Concordance, the word priesthood and the word priest in Revelation, they're from the same root word. In Strong's Concordance, 1 Peter 2:5, priesthood is 2406 in the Greek, and the word is pronounced hieratuma, and is from the root word of 2407, which is also from the root word 2409, which is priest or high priest, to execute the priest's office, priestly fraternity. And it's the same meaning for the priests of Revelation 5:10, 1:6, and also 26, which is in Revelation. And it has the same meaning, that priestly place, that high office. And we have that high office where we're to be worshipers. We come back to Peter, and it says, we are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Those spiritual sacrifices are made clear also in Revelation verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts And the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. These spiritual sacrifices that we do, whether it's teaching Sunday school or just our daily life, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, that just believe him for that job, for that finance, for any circumstance. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change. He wants us to rest in him. And in Revelation, it talks also about the kings and how God has made us kings. But in that, in Strong's Concordance and also in 1 Peter 2:5, it says that that word in the Greek, kings, is the word basileus. In Revelation 1:6, 5:10, that word basileus meaning through the notion of the foundation of power. That's who we are as kings. I want to say, read that again, meaning through the notion of the foundation of power. And that power is what we have from Christ, from him and no one else. Not of me, O Lord, but only of you. Amen. All glory be to Jesus. And from the root word, that of 939, the basis of it is through the foot or to walk. And we walk in his light, and we walk by his might, and we walk by his grace, and we walk by his mercy. All by him, nothing of us, only his love. His power. God wants us just to believe him and trust him and worship him. And then turn over to John 4:23 and chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And just as like the saying on our steps, go over to 2 Peter 3:18. Wait a minute, that's the wrong verse. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at 1 Peter. Bear with me. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. And we know that all praise is going to be to him. But he wants us to grow in this grace. You know, John, the epistle of John brings out about babes, young men, and mature saints. And he doesn't want us to stay a babe. The message has been coming forth here for the last 6 years, 7 years, have been so powerful of growing up and growing in the grace and taking this word and taking this book and making it yours. And the promises in there, yours. They're ours. To see ourselves there with him as his bride. Not to hope, but it's a hope knowing and a hope resting in him. Because perfect love casts out all fear. His perfect love that he makes real to me, that he makes real to you, the reality of him. Now, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. We're going to be a little bit here in Ephesians because I'm going to read several verses. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, where he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He purposed in himself to bring about making his glory in me, to be his bridegroom for him. Before the foundation of the world, he predestinated me. We need to be jumping up and down. We need to be awake. We need to be shouting. We don't need to be sitting here like we don't know anything. We are now the sons of God. And we are looking for our soon bridegroom. Be awake. He told the Thessalonians not to be asleep, but to be awake. Be awake, alive. Not by feelings, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, that comforter who teaches us all things concerning him, who teaches us concerning his word. The only way we can do it is by leaning on him and just believing him, because he does the work. And the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, in us. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to working of his mighty power. That's that, going back to that king, that power. That power is his, and we stand on that power alone. But he wants us to go forward. He wants us to go forward in his power. Because now are we again the sons of God. We cannot say that enough, who we are. We're overcomers by the grace of God and his precious mercy. That mercy seat as a seraphim of the living ones, the foreign living ones, look over that, knowing that it's all him. All glory is going to be to Jesus and no one else. And it's going to be glorified through us, in us, by his Holy Spirit. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love where he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In me, the kindness he's showing me, to what he's showing you, who we are. But it says again, it is the gift of God. So if it's a gift of God when we got saved, it's a gift of God that we go on by faith. It is a gift that we grow in him, that we grow in grace. And that at times, I'm reading over now Ephesians 2:12. And that at this time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one, and have broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make himself twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh. And that we can receive his promises. That we can grow again over. You can't say it enough. In his grace, mercy, and love. And I was thinking of the songs this morning. I felt we got a double portion. I did. You know, I told Tim he needs to sing more, not to exalt the man. I'm exalt the Christ in the man. He's got a talent, and it was a precious song. And then with Ray's. So with Ray and Tim's song this morning, I felt I got a double blessing. And I hope by the grace of God, after the message from him this morning, Herbert Jesse, that I can be that blessing to you tonight by his grace, by his mercy. And because... that he gave some apostles, I'm reading 4:11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I know our pastor went over that this morning, so two is the number witness. So when he was saying that, I was like, wait a minute, that's going to be in my sermon tonight. But God said, spoke immediately, two is the number of witness. So just like we got a double portion with the songs, his word, two, confirmation, two is the number of witness. And again, he wants us to take our place. And I'm going to go back to 2 Peter 2, 5. You also, as living stones, that word actually means, as lively stones means living stones, are built up a spiritual house. And it's through Paul's gospel that we are built up that spiritual house. And Paul calls us to grow up into Christ into all things. And sometimes we get caught up with we get occupied with the cares of this life, and that's what we were warned about, the cares of this life. Because it's the cares of this life that drown the word, the cares of this life. And he wants us to only be focused on him first, that first love with him and him alone. Again, he made it clear, he just wants us to believe him. And in Romans 1:17, it says, the just shall live by faith. In Galatians 3:11, it says, the just shall live by faith. In Habakkuk 2:4, it says, the just shall live by faith. Abraham, the father of faith, is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to turn there. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And I'm going to jump down here to verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned into the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, their heirs with him in the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And I'm going to go back to Abraham, because how it is by faith, even though Abraham Sarah had given Hagar to Abraham to father a son, God still counted him faithful. He went in and slept with Hagar, but yet God counted him faithful that he waited on the son Isaac. He counted him faithful. Even though the failure is in your life or my life, anyone's life, he counts it faithful because he, again, is the author and finisher. And because he's the author and finisher, there's nothing we can do but believe and trust in him, but believe. I'm going to go over to verse 32. And what I say more, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And now I'm going to drop down to verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us would not be made perfect. Verse 1 of chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we are so compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that joy of seeing that bride while he was on the cross, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God because of her. He looked for her coming. And the fathers, we're waiting for the father to say, go get your bride, son. And we're to be awake, looking and longing and loving his appearing. His appearing. He wants us to be not longing like an old mule that had religion too. He wants us to rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. He wants us rejoicing, rejoicing in that trial, thanking him. We have the honor to suffer this, but he says a light affliction it is, because we're about to be joint heirs with Jesus. So it is a light affliction. It's nothing compared to what he's going to do in us. And we're the glory we're going to share with him throughout eternity. It is real, saints. As well, my brothers and sisters, we now are the sons of God and joint heirs with Christ. Believe it. Believe. That's all he wants us to do is believe. Hallelujah. He just wants us to trust him. In Job 13:15, he states, though he slay me, I will trust him. That's a mighty scripture to me. My mother said that. She was a testimony to many. She wasn't perfect. She had her faults. But she loved the Lord, and she loves his people. And if you don't love the people, not like your brother, love him. That means you love him for you, not who he is, who he is in Christ. And if you love him for who he is in Christ, you won't see nothing but Christ. So Paul says, we no longer know Christ after the flesh. So we don't know any of us, because we've been born again and raised with Christ. So we don't look at anybody. We only see them as a new creation and only perfect in Christ and nobody else but him. And if we see him in them, if I see Christ in you, I see him. And I should love you and want to hug you, love you, and encourage you, pray for you, lift you up. Be there when you have troubles. Be there when things are not just going bad, but to be there in friendship and companionship, because we're going to marry the same person. Again, he wants us to trust him. I want to go over to Psalms. We'll start at Psalm 25. Psalms 25, verses 1 through 6. Unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. All the day. We wait on him. Next we'll go to Psalms 37:3. It says, Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust in him. And he promises to meet our every need. Our every need in him, in Christ. Because he said, already he told us, don't worry about the clothes you wear, the food you need. Because he already feeds the birds, so why would he not feed us? When he gave us Jesus, he gave us everything. He robbed all of heaven of everything when he gave us his son. So how can he deny? How can he deny us anything? He's already given it to us. He gave us his son. He gave us everything. Everything. So he's going to meet our every need. All we have to do is just believe him, look unto him, and trust him. This is really an easy race if you think about it. Because he's doing it all. All we have to do is believe him. Believe him and trust him. Psalms 40, chapter 40, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust it, and shall trust in the Lord. Your testimony, it goes before you. They'll see the love and the light of Jesus in you. You just trust in him and let him do the work. Because we are his workmanship, created unto good works. We are his and his alone. Psalms 62:1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He is only my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Resting in him. And I missed one. Oh, 143, Psalms 143:8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. I love seeking the Lord early in the morning when I get up and pray, just to praise him. No distractions. Nothing's already come in my mind. I haven't listened to the news. I haven't listened to anything but him. And it's that joint time. I have a daily light. Some of you probably have it. I've had it since I was about 20 years old. And that's one of the special readings to me every morning when I start with that daily light and call upon the name of Jesus. And these last years, it's been especially precious to me because sometimes I feel like it took me 40 years to get to where I am now. And I'm thankful, though, because it had to be. I wouldn't be where I'm at now if he didn't take me the way he took me, and I'm so thankful that he did. Because I know he's perfecting me for his glory. So cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. And David, he said he will call upon the Lord as long as he lives. In Psalms 116, verses 1 and 2. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore I will call upon him as long as I live. As long as I live. That's what David said. Now this is David, a man after God's own heart, who wrote the Psalms. He didn't have what we have. He didn't hear what we have. The promise isn't to him what's been offered to us. To be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And this man wrote the Psalms. We more. Because they without us, they're not going to receive the promise. We're going to be joint heirs. They're not offered that. And David, this man. So why not us more to trust him? Why not us more to trust him? And to believe in him. And to rest upon him alone. And we don't fight a battle, but we know that the heavens are violent and the violence taketh them by force. Because we're already seated in the heavenlies, but this is spiritual warfare. And let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in the obedience of Christ. But I'm going to want to go back to that where it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And depending on God and God alone. He's already won the victory for us. When he rose from the dead, he defeated the devil. So we already have the victory. When they did everything they could, the devils and all the demons that tried to keep him from rising. And once he rose again, it was already over. The battle was won. He cried on the cross before that, before he died. It is finished. Telio. Telio in the Greek. It means it is finished. And it is finished. And our work. It's not like Paul said, not that we've already apprehended, but we still run after. But we know that the work is finished because he finished it. Hallelujah. But he's taught us, as Paul said in Ephesians 6:10, finding my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's us as kings. The queen to be. Be the strong in the power of his might. Not the power of us, because us is going to fail. 1 second from now, it's going to fail. And then we don't want to look back. I've been guilty of that many times, over and over. And the Lord had to tell me, stop me, said, stop that. That's unbelief. And unbelief sows discord. Unbelief is poison, because it can spread. Unbelief. He wants us to believe and trust him. Stand on his word. Not what you see, not what you think, not what you hear, but on this word. Because all these the promises in here, no, they're not all ours. Because there's calling for the 420 elders. There's promises to Israel. There's promises to the disciples, ruling over the 12 tribes of Israel in heaven. But the bride is the most important one that he looked unto. And that's coming for me. He's coming for you. Because we're a company as two armies, as it says in the Song of Solomon. We are one in him. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 through 10, it says, and I'll end with this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, but he's nothing. He has no teeth. Like, all he could do is gum you to death. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's going to happen in the tribulation. We ain't going to be here. Whom you resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you. He had to do that to me. Settle me. To believe. Don't matter what it looks like. So believe. Trust in him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And then that which concerned me, even if we don't believe, he abideth faithful. He does it. Believe. I guess we'll stand and be dismissed. Love one another. Know who we are in him. Trust him for one another. Lift each other up in prayer. But love one another as Christ loved us. Scott, would you dismiss us?